Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading to Job chapter 38. Job chapter 38, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare, if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Or who shut up the sea with doors, when it brake forth, as if it had issued out of the womb? When I made the cloud the garment thereof, and the thick darkness a swaddling band for it, and brake up for it my decreed place, and set bars and doors, and said, Hitherto shalt thou come, but no further, and here shall thy proud waves be swayed, be stayed. Hast thou commanded the morning since thy days, and caused the dayspring to know his place, that it might take hold of the ends of the earth, that the wicked might be shaken out of it? Is it turned as clay to the seal, and they stand, it is turned to clay as the seal, and they stand as a garment, and from the wicked their light is broken, their light is withholden, and the high arm shall be broken. Hast thou entered into the springs of the sea, or hast thou walked in the search of the depth? Have the gates of death been opened unto thee? Or hast thou seen the doors of the shadow of death? Hast thou perceived the breadth of the earth? Declare, if thou knowest it all. Where is the way where light dwelleth? And as for darkness, where is the place thereof? That thou shouldest take it to the bound thereof, and that thou shouldest know the paths to the house thereof. Knowest thou it because thou wast then born, or because the number of thy days is great? Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow, or hast thou seen the treasures of the hail, which I have reserved against the time of trouble, against the day of battle and war? By what way is the light parted, which scattereth the east wind upon the earth? Who hath divided a watercourse for the overflowing of waters, or a way for the lightning of thunder, to cause it to rain on the earth where no man is, on the wilderness wherein there is no man, to satisfy the desolate and waste ground, and to cause the bud of the tender herb to spring forth? Hath the rain a father? Or who hath begotten the drops of dew? Out of whose womb came the ice and the hoary frost of heaven? Who hath gendered it? The waters are hid as with a stone, and the face of the deep is frozen. Canst thou bind the sweet influences of Pleiades, or loose the bands of Orion? Canst thou bring forth Mazarot in his season, or canst thou guide Arcturus with his sons? Knowest thou the ordinances of heaven? Canst thou set the dominion thereof in the earth? Canst thou lift up thy voice to the clouds, that abundance of waters may cover thee? Canst thou send lightnings, that they may go and say unto thee, Here we are? Who hath put wisdom in the inward parts? Or who hath given understanding to the heart? Who can number the clouds in wisdom? Or who can stay the bottles of heaven, when the dust groweth into hardness, and the clods cleave fast together? Wilt thou hunt the prey for the lion, or fill the appetite of the young lions, when they couch in their dens and abide in the covert to lie in wait? Who provideth for the raven his food, when his young ones cry unto God, they wander for lack of meat? May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Well, I think when we hear a chapter like this, one of the things we think is, man, I hope the Lord never speaks to me like that. I hope never to be called to account in the way the Lord calls Job to account here and says, gird up thy loins like a man. I will demand of thee and answer me. And then he asks me 1,000 questions that I cannot answer. I have no answer for. I have no way even to find out the answers. This is, again, the Lord's work in humbling Job after he had spoken unadvisedly. And so the first thing that we note here is that it says, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. And so Elihu simply stops speaking. The Lord picks up speech. It is as if the Lord, as it were, cleared Elihu out of the way and said, okay, let me take this up now. You've gone quite a little ways. Let me put the finishing touches on the argument so that we may reclaim my servant Job. Because that is what he is always known as in this book, my servant Job. So notice that he says, who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? I guess what I want to tell you about this is that whenever we rise up murmuring and complaining against God, we are darkening counsel by words without knowledge. The Lord sends things to us, and he sends them to us in such a way that they are for our good. But when we murmur, when we complain, we endeavor at that time to thwart the good work that he would do. Now, we will not be able to overcome him, thankfully. We may draw ourselves far from him for a long time. But in the end, we will not triumph, thankfully. He will prevail. It is better then to receive correction early. It is better to hear him before the pressure needs to be increased. It is better to hear him lest he go to shouting. Right? Who is he that darkeneth counsel without knowledge? And then he says, seeing that you have decided to speak, stand up now, and I'll give you the questions to answer. And so the Lord often feeds us with our own folly until we get a belly full. Right? It is indeed the Lord causing us at such times as that to hate that course that we had chosen before. To fill us up with loathing for it. Well, that is certainly the way he is pursuing with Job here, is it not? And we will again peel back the veil for a moment and say that we hear Job when he finally is given opportunity to respond in chapter 40, beginning rightly to respond. This is a good course that the Lord has chosen for Job. So let's remember that. All right, so then, notice he says, when he says, gird up thy loins. Remember what gird up thy loins means in ancient Near Eastern parlance. It means get ready for battle. You've drawn yourself in opposition to me. All right, God says, get ready for battle. We don't want to do that. We don't want to enter into that battle. We don't want to take up weapons against the Lord, do we? And yet that is what the Lord challenges Job to do here. Get ready as a man would for battle. Get ready for your stout defense. I will demand of thee no more you demanding me. I will demand of thee, the Lord says. And then answer thou me. Show your submission unto me and leave off this insurrection and rebellion. That's how the Lord begins the discourse. Here, then in verses 4 through 11, as in much of what follows, the Lord declares his power and greatness, which show him the wise, worthy, and sovereign judge of all, and that his way of proceeding should never be questioned. First of all, in the creation of the physical world, and I want you to notice here what we call in grammar the active voice. I laid, I stretched, I fastened, I made, I broke up, I set, I said. And so notice that the Lord speaks of himself in the active voice, creating all of the world and its underpinnings and its fastenings and all the things that it needs. The foundation, its dimensions, its straight and level character, it is all done well in ancient time when it was done, when the sons of God shouted for joy. And the sons of God there, some have said it was the angels. It may have been, but it may just be metaphoric for that which God created. And they are in that sense his sons, that they are created entities like stars and planets and the cosmos and so on. The one who controls and has set the bounds also to the sea. Mankind has spent much energy and effort over the millennia of his existence in trying to hold back the sea, often to very poor effect. The Lord says, "Hitherto shalt thou come, and no further, and here shall thy proud waves be stayed." In a word, the Lord holds back the sea. In a word, the Lord releases the sea. Verses 12 through 24, the Lord asks certain questions of Job as if it was he who did these things. The day and night are governed by God. The wicked are judged, left in darkness. The bottom of the sea is home to the Lord, for he orders its goings as well. Light, darkness, water, ice, these physical attributes of the earth are under God's sovereignty, and even in their metaphoric counterparts, they are controlled by God. And so the Lord turns to Job and he says, "What about you in relation to these things? Can you drive them? Can you create them? Or do you even know who did?" Right? And so he continues his work of humility upon Job. Then in verses 25 through the end of the chapter, several things. The Lord is the former, the one who gives birth to all of his creation in all of its details. And so he rules over the waters. He waters whether or not there is a man to profit, for he delights in his labors. He moves the stars above. He claims sovereignty over them. And he calls Job out as powerless in these vast arenas, while he himself is powerful and rules there. But then notice what he does. He's not only in the greatness of the cosmos and in the ordering of the world, but then he descends. How about the heart of man, Job? Do you know what's going on there? How about in the heart of man? Who drives what's going on there? And the Lord says, "I do." So not only in the vastness of the cosmos, but in that place of no space at all, in the thoughts of man, in the spiritual things, God says, "It is I. It is I." And in saying, "It is I," he's looking upon Job and saying, "Who are you?" Right? I've told you before about where we used to vacation in Northern California. We would take October, a week or two in October, and we'd pack the family up into a blue van and we'd drive the 14 hours that it would take up to Northern California. We'd camp along we'd camp in the redwood forest and we'd hike to the beach and so on. We had a wonderful time. I remember one time stepping out on the beach, and there, most of you know a little bit about the Northern California geography. The beach is essentially a north-south affair. And you can walk out on the beach, especially in October, and you can look as far as you can see north and as far as you can see south, and you can not see anyone else. You can see the vastness of the ocean out at front, and to your right hand, you see the cliffs and the trees and the rocks and the waves and nothing else as far as you can see. And the same thing as far as you can see south. And you feel small. But that's nothing. Nothing compared to what the Lord calls upon Job to see here. In the vastness of the cosmos and in the vastness of the microcosm of a man's heart, the Lord says, I'm there. I govern. I created it. I rule it. I direct it. I overrule. If something happens that is extraordinary, it is because I commanded it. If something proceeds as ordinary, it's because I commanded it. Gird up your loins. Get ready to do battle with the one who has spun the universe from his fingers. And remember how sinful it is to rebel against me, to draw me into question, and to set yourself as a judge over me. What a powerful passage this is when the Lord takes up the speech against Job. All right, well, let's stand and continue praising God.